Today's first scripture reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice with you. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppression, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Here ends the lesson.
I used to get my braces caught in my cast net years ago, and I've spent a lot of time fishing. In fact, earlier in the week, I was spending some time with one of the members of the church and got to see some super secret fishing spots that I've now forgot where they are. But yes, we find the image of fishing throughout the scripture and occasions by the sea. And as we know, and as we'll read this day, as Jesus' ministry kind of gets a beginning and takes a bit of a shift, and we find Jesus along the shore and working with those who knew best, the fishermen. And so that was kind of a joke, but he did spend time with folks who were working hard and making a living, and met them right where they were and simply asked them to follow. In my travels, which it's good to be back, by the way, took me really zigzag crisscross all over the state, and I'm looking forward to my car only making the journey from my house to the church and back, and not from end to end and all the way across the state multiple times, as the past week has been, in terms of being involved with a wedding and then entertaining our son, who was in from Hawaii, who left on a 6 a.m. flight from Orlando this morning. And so we've seen the road. But in the midst of it, I came across a book. And sometimes, you know, things are just placed just right, and often in my study, and you see it, and you say, why is that there in my vision? And so I just simply grabbed it this morning, and I opened it up. And I said, what does this have to do with us? And so I'm going to read briefly the introduction to this book that was written in 1960. It's entitled Toward Responsible Discipleship. Follow me, said Jesus to the men and women of Galilee long ago. There was a dynamic power and winsomeness about the Lord who gave this invitation, for the Gospels tell of ordinary people like Peter, James, John, and others who left all and followed him. The New Testament and the history of the Christian church is recorded. It records the transformed lives of men and women who have responded to that call. 19 centuries have passed at the time this book was written in 1960, since Jesus stood on the shores of the little lake in Palestine and invited men to be his disciples, calling others as well. But the living Christ still calls through the gospel proclaimed by his church, and modern men and women by the millions respond to that invitation. It is a call to fellowship with a living Christ through the daily power of His Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you always, He promised. Discipleship begins not with the acceptance of a creed, but as the response to a person, the person of Christ. His call is not follow my teachings or follow my philosophy of life, but follow me in a dynamic way of daily living. The heart of a Christian, the heart of Christian living is fellowship between two persons, you and Jesus Christ. As we respond to Him, we make the amazing discovery that God's Holy Spirit works in our lives, guiding us in decisions, furnishing us with power in temptations, infusing us with a peace and a poise we had not deemed possible. Following Him is the greatest adventure on which we can embark. Friends, think about that as we go now to God's Word, as we find it in Matthew's Gospel in the 4th chapter. These texts lead right up to the Sermon on the Mount, and we will dig into Matthew chapter 5 over the next 3 weeks, but this week is the setup for that as we find this Gospel writer taking us into what has become the beginnings of Jesus' ministry. So hear this from God's Word as we find it in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, He withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made His home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. On the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed Him. As He went from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and He called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the peoples. So His fame spread throughout all of the region. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we would ask once again for the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the hearts and minds to understand what You would say to us this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sang a hymn this day, The Summons. Perhaps a newer hymn to us. We have sung it before. And we are reminded in and through this hymn that we will be changed in and through our encounter with Christ if we respond to Christ's call on our lives. We remember that account back in the Epiphany, as this again even finds its way into Epiphany-like readings. As we know that as those Magi visited and saw the Christ child in their encounter, their lives were changed by what they saw and what they heard. And so as we go through the verses of that particular hymn, the summons, we see these questions for you and for me and for the church. And knowing that if we respond to those questions, that our lives will never be the same. Peter, James, and John, as they were sitting along the sea, we know that perhaps they were probably middle-class fishermen. They owned their own boats. They had hired servants. They had yet left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus asked this simple question, which is a command, and it brings with it a promise. Will you follow me? What we find in this text this day is a call to absolute obedience. Often at the time of offering, we present our lives and our gifts, all of who we are, all of what we have, to be used in and through God's church here in this place and across the ends of the earth. All of who I am, all of what I have, it is absolute obedience. We find the word repentance also in this text. This does not necessarily mean, as we understand the word, repent. Let all the bad things go. And don't forget to do all the good things. And we'll be forgiven and thou all clean once again. This use of repentance talks about the fact that if we obey absolutely Christ's call on each of our lives and our lives together, that we would be prepared to live lives in a new way. In the same way that the Magi's lives were changed and they went home a new way, this calls for a change of direction. And one of the many nights in and out of hotel rooms as we traveled the state and until this morning, actually, off and on, I saw in one of those brochures, you know, they put those in the hotel rooms and along with the Gideon's Bible, but they put information, especially in some hotels, about their own credit cards. And they give you an application you can fill out, and they talk about all the wonderful things that this might provide for you. And so I just flipped through it because I was taken by the title of it. It said Boundless. And as I read and I turned, it simply had this quote, which I think fits very well for this day. Open yourselves to boundless opportunities. Open yourselves to boundless opportunities. We don't know why those first disciples said yes. What was going on in their lives? We don't have that information. All we know is that we find this word immediately. Christ called them, and immediately they left it all behind. Immediately they took all of who they are and all of what they have, and they invested it into their response. I mentioned the hymn, the summons. I also mentioned the song, I Will Follow Him. Some of you remember Whoopi Goldberg singing that in Sister Act, and they were starting out really slow as a choir, and it started to pick up. I will follow him. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. Probably not in our hymn book. Think about it, though, in relation to our relationship with Christ. Love him. I love him. I love him. And where he goes, I'll follow. I'll follow, I'll follow. I'll follow him wherever he may go. There isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high that it can keep me away. I must follow him. Ever since he touched my hand, I knew that near him I always must be. And nothing can keep him from me. He is my destiny. I love him. I love him. I love him. And where he goes, I will follow. He will almost always be my true love from now until forever. I will follow him wherever he may go, and be reminded there isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high, it can keep me away, away from my love. I love him, I love him, I love him. Perhaps a new spin on that song. But it's the truth. Jesus offers an invitation as Jesus crossed those nets and stepped aside those boats and saw people hard at work. Jesus offered a simple invitation, follow me. And that invitation he offered to you, to which you responded, yes. Perhaps he is still offering that invitation to you, one that you have yet to respond to. It's a command to follow and a promise that you will become fishers of men and women, that you will be part of what God is doing in and through Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, lived out in God's church that found its very first beginnings in this simple call where Christ said, "Will you help me? Will you follow me? Will you serve me? And use all that you have to make that possible." In the church, we move from what separates us from God and move to obedience to God. And so as we look at this idea of repentance in this particular passage, it's about moving away from safety and routine, the things that are known, and towards a life of unheard newness. Now, you like me aren't real in favor of change. In fact, when you hear that word, especially in the church, it just kind of, it's like my dog, Nala. I haven't talked about Nala lately. You know, when Nala notices something different in the yard, especially on the perimeter of that great big high 3-foot fence, her hair just stands up because she knows something's different. Something's not supposed to be here. And sometimes I get that sense if we even hear that word in casual conversation, or maybe somebody says, "Well, why don't we?" And, "Oh, that's changed." And you just see the people of God, including myself. But yet those very first disciples were called to a new way of life, called to be a disciple, to move from the routine, the things that are known, the safety, the familiarity, and to open their eyes and their ears, their hearts and their minds. Open yourselves to boundless opportunities where the gospel of God's reign is preached. People are called to absolute obedience. The abruptness of the disciples' departure, their break with fishing and family, their instant acceptance of Jesus' invitation to fish for people underscore the sharp demands of discipleship. The message of God's reign is not for the tentative and the indecisive, because it necessitates wholehearted allegiance. It brings a severing of old relationships and securities. It puts people to following Jesus, the one whose person and ministry embody God's reign. I will follow. That's the simple invitation that Christ gave that day, and that same invitation that we are to be reminded of this day. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? with all of what you have, all of who you are. My hope and prayer is your answer will be yes. Friends, thanks be to God. Amen.